Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 13 to 16. As we read this passage, I'll be preaching with the idea and the topic of faith's enduring desire. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 to 16. This is the word of the Lord. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, we do give you thanks for your word, for the encouragement that we receive from reading it and hearing it preached. We now ask, Lord, that you would use your word and write it upon our hearts. Use your Holy Spirit to increase our faith and strengthen us as we hear your word preached, as we live out our daily lives all the way even to our death by faith in you. Lord, this is a work that only you can do now, and as we pray for these days ahead of us, only you, Lord, can keep us there, believing by faith all the way to the end. And so we are asking you, Lord, to do this work in our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In our outreach efforts this past Tuesday, we had conversations with a few people, which a couple of those people confessed that they once had faith in God. One lady student said she was once a Catholic. But once she started using her brain, she realized through science that there was no God, nor was there any life after this. One young man stated that he was a Christian previously, but because he saw the hypocrisy in the church he attended and the hypocrisy in his own life, he left the faith and now believed in Buddhism, Hinduism, Jewish mysticism, and a little bit of Jesus. These are two examples of those who, while they were living on this earth, have denied the faith, what they once professed to believe. And if you talk to enough people, you will find many different experiences, quote unquote, of some kind of faith, and many different definitions of faith. But the Word of God here in Hebrews chapter 11 has given us the true Spirit of God definition of faith. He's been doing that ever since the first three verses. He's been doing it in verses 1 to 3 by explaining the doctrine of faith. And then in the verses that we've been looking at lately, he's been giving us examples of people who have lived that out. For example, he has shown us Abel, who by faith worshipped God in an acceptable, God-given way according to his word. He's given us the example of Enoch, who by faith pleased God and was taken away. Noah, by faith, built an ark to save his family. Abraham, by faith, left his homeland and was looking for the city of God. And Sarah, by faith, judged God to be faithful, to be able to perform what he had promised to her. And what we're about to look at now is a small summary of the vision of these people. What was going on in their mind as God called them to live by faith? We will see in this passage a description of the faith that last all the way to the end. That's what characterizes true faith. Not that you once had it, it's now gone away. Verses 13 to 16 will show us that they had a particular way of thinking that enabled them to endure to the end of their life. A lifetime of not obtaining all of God's promises, but yet still believing. And their experience is also our experience today. We have not received all the promises of God yet. But we are called to look at those promises that are still out there and to embrace them and to hold on to them while we still live here on earth, enduring trials, enduring struggles, fighting against sin. We are being called here to look at these people and see how they endured with faith, with a desire for the things yet to be delivered to us. And you have to admit, that is not the easiest thing to do. I don't imagine it was the easiest thing for them. It is not for you, and it is not for I as well, the easiest thing to do. Because one of the ways discouragement comes into the Christian's life is that we don't see all the promises of God being fulfilled. We don't see them taking shape yet in this lifetime. And sometimes that is due to misunderstanding the promises. Sometimes people see a promise in God's Word and say, oh, I'm going to claim that for right now. And I'm going to achieve that right now. And when that promise is not right now, and God did not intend it for right now, then they get discouraged because of their misunderstanding. Sometimes it comes from impatience with God to bring about a promise that He has made to us. The examples presented to us here so far are not examples of perfect faith, but of faithful people believing God and with enduring desires to see God's promises fulfilled. And the question is, do we have that kind of faith? Because faith is not always about a right now situation, or even a right now deliverance on a promise. So in verses 13 to 16, we see a portrayal of faith's enduring desire. In other words, we get to look at these people and we get to see how they demonstrated faith. And God is not just giving this to us so that we will look at them and say, isn't that great what they did? But He presents the lives of these people to us as a mirror. So we can look at that mirror and we can ask ourselves, is this my faith? Is this the kind of faith that I have today? And so the Spirit of God is saying to us and to them in the day this was written, this is faith. Do you have it? This is what faith looks like. Look. Look into God's Word and see what faith looks like. And see what faith is looking for. We're going to look at this in three different ways. And first, in verse 13, we're going to see that faith endures to the end. Faith endures to the end. And because it endures to the end, we're going to see in verses 14 and 15 that faith does not turn back. Faith does not turn back. And faith desires the promises of God, now and future promises. Faith desires the promises of God. So let's look at verse 13 and see faith endures to the end. Verse 13 tells us, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What's being told to us here is that true biblical faith does not come and go like the wind. It is not something that once you have it, once you have been given it by God, that you somehow lose it. Now, many people may think that they once had it. And you hear that from people. They testify, yes, I once believed in Jesus, but not now. And the Scripture tells us that that itself is not true. The Scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, speaking of those who deny Christ as being the Antichrist, and that they went out from us, but they were not of us. They left us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. You see, true faith, as described in the Word of God, comes from God as a gift from God and does not go away. It does not. The world talks about faith as, well, once I had faith in Christ, this was once my faith, but now I'm in this kind of faith, which is a total misunderstanding of biblical faith. Because true faith, the faith that God gives to us, perseveres to the end of a person's life. And this is what's being portrayed here in verse 13. When the Bible says, these all died in faith, it means they lived by faith to their death. And in their death, they were still believing in the promises of God. Now, it doesn't mean that they were perfect in their faith all their life. It doesn't mean that they never had doubts about things. But what it does mean, that they endured and persevered through those times and continue to believe all the way to the end. All the way to the end. Our confession in chapter 17 addresses this, saying, they whom God hath accepted in His beloved, they whom God has accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has effectually called and sanctified by His Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. This is what we're looking at here. These all died in faith. They died believing in God's promises, the Bible says, not having received the promises. Their faith endured to the end of their lives because that is what faith does. We may try to redefine faith. We may try to say, no, faith can come and go, but the Bible says it doesn't. The Bible says faith endures because it is given from the one who promised and it is based on the one who promised. And because it is impossible for God to be unfaithful, it is impossible for God to not keep His promises. And so if you are persuaded that He is God, and that you must believe, then you must believe that He is going to keep His word and be faithful to it, even if you don't receive it all in this lifetime. One of the things that God has promised to us as Christians is that He will be sanctifying us by His Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? If you believe that, it is because of God's promise and because of faith. It is not because you always feel like you're being sanctified, is it? There are days in our lives when we do not sense that the Spirit of God is sanctifying us very much. Days when sin is sometimes seems to be overwhelming. Days when we don't sense even the presence of God in our life. Those are real experiences. And if you were to judge God's promises to be faithful to you about sanctifying you based on how you feel or what you sense or your situation around you, you would not be experiencing this promise that God has made to you to sanctify you and to be always making you more like His Son Jesus Christ. That is a promise that God has made to us that we must believe by faith. That even when I don't feel it, even when I don't sense it, even when I don't see it, I know He is doing it because He has promised it. Another example of that is the promise of Jesus Christ to be building His church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Do you believe that promise? Because if you believe it, it is because God has given you faith to believe it, not because you always see it happening, not because you always see the church prevailing over the world, because sometimes you see just the opposite, or what appears to be the opposite. Sometimes you see the church weak. Sometimes you see the church church overall. Sometimes you see the church even turning its back on God and His Word. And if you did not believe that Jesus Christ said He would build His church, if you were looking at the situation of the church sometimes, you would find yourself very discouraged. But Jesus Christ did make that promise. He did make the promise to build His church. He did make the promise to save people, to add them to the body of Christ. And so we believe that promise. Sometimes that is happening slower than we would like. Sometimes we don't even see it happening in our circumstances. But by faith, we believe that Jesus Christ is building His church. Jesus said to the Jews in John 8:56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Abraham believed God's promises that He had made to him and saw them fulfilled in Christ Jesus. But Abraham was already gone when this happened. Abraham was already dead. Abraham is already buried by the time Jesus Christ came. But he looked afar off and he saw what God was doing. He saw what God was promising. And so the Bible tells us that he rejoiced to see Jesus' day. He was glad. And just like the faithful of Hebrews 11 that have been mentioned to us here, they did not let go of the promise because of the situation around them. Abraham and Sarah particularly did not let go. Jacob and Isaac did not let go of the promise just because they did not receive the promise. See, if you only believe what God says because of what you see, the Bible doesn't call that faith. The Bible calls it faith when you believe what you don't see, when you believe the evidence of things not seen. But here the Scripture tells us, it describes their faith, even though they were pilgrims, travelers, strangers, aliens in this land, with idolaters all around them. This little band of people, hundreds of thousands of people all around them who own the land that has already been given to them. By faith, they embraced the promises. They latched on to them as if they were already theirs. And as strangers in that land, they lived as if it was already true. Now, what does that look like if they would not have had faith? Here you have Abraham and Sarah and Lot and their servants and their animals. They're in this land that God says, "Go here. I'll show you to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. And all this is going to be yours, and all this is going to be your descendants." But what does Abraham see all around him? paganism, idolatry, those things that God had called him out of. But he embraced them. They embraced them. If they wouldn't have embraced him, here's what this would have looked like. It would have been much like what the Israelites were when they came out of Egypt, when they were in the desert. It would have looked like Abraham never leaving his homeland. Without faith in God's promises, that's what this would have looked like. It would have looked like Sarah never believing that she would have a child. You see, faith manifests itself in actions. Faith is not something that's just, you know, in the mind or the spirit world or just something you think. Real biblical faith manifests itself in actions. And so it did with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob. It looked like something. And what you saw in these people was their faith in action as they stayed in these lands that were not theirs. They endured all their lives being fully persuaded of these promises and embracing these promises by following God's direction to go and to live in a land that one day would be theirs and their descendants. But for these people, they would never take possession of it. And they died that way. But their faith never disappeared. And it's manifested here for us to see. But even then, when they were in the land and waiting for God to fulfill that land, that promised land to be given to them, they knew that this earth was not their home. They were not only strangers and aliens amongst the land physically, they also knew this was not their home for eternal life, for eternity. And they confessed this all the way to death. Faith is pictured as here as that which believes in something, though it does not yet receive it, but it still sees it and looks at it as if it were right in their hand right now. Our salvation in Jesus Christ is just like this. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, something that's coming, incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Here's the promise. You don't get it all right now. And that's a good thing. Salvation is great and wonderful as it is right now. As great and wonderful and joyful as it is right now to know Christ as our Savior, to know that our sins are forgiven, praise God, it's not all there is. We have more to look forward to. Verse 5 says, "You who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." There is more to come. One of the greatest things about this more is, though you now have been freed from the power of sin, you've not been freed from the harassment of sin. You've not been freed from that nature of sin that still dwells within you. Though you have been forgiven for all your sin, there is coming a day, praise God, where there'll be no more sin in your life at all. That is something to look forward to. That is something to be rejoicing about. And though you have God's presence with you by the Holy Spirit, now, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that down payment. And it is a down payment. It is a deposit of God as proof and evidence that one day you'll be with Him fully and completely. Salvation, all finished, all wrapped up, receiving the end of your faith. You'll be with Him forever, without sin, without sickness, without death. All these things we have to look forward to. And if we have that to look forward to, then we should be rejoicing, as Peter talked about here. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now we do that because we look forward to that day when our salvation will be fully completed. The Bible tells us here what our confession is to be. We are to be looking with faith for the return of Christ. We may not see it in our lifetime, but we are to be looking for it, and we are to be believing that it will happen. See, Abraham and his descendants, they were looking far off and looking for something greater that was within that promise. And we, like the saints of old, believe God will bless all the nations in Christ Jesus. We believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is one of the things that the Catholic lady at the outreach said. When this life is over, it's over. There's nothing more. By faith, we don't believe that. We believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And though we don't see that, by faith we believe it. And even more so, we believe that this body will be raised again to incorruption and put on immortality. And we, in body and soul, will be with the Lord forever. Do you desire that? Faith endures to the end. And brothers and sisters, if it does not, it may have been something, but it was not faith. For the faith God gives to His people is a faith that culminates in the salvation of your soul. That's where it ends up. It culminates in that. And this is our confession. This is what we, by faith, embrace and are persuaded of with certainty. So while on this earth we may be grieved by various trials, persecutions, and trouble, faith enables us to endure through them in this life all the way to the day that we die. This world is not our home. So don't latch onto it so tightly and so deeply. We are pilgrims and strangers and sojourners here as well, because we, by faith, are looking for something better. And we are enduring in this life so that we may have what God has promised us. One of the other manifestations of faith is that it doesn't look around and see if there's something better. There's something better than what God is promising. We sang about that in our psalm this morning. But this faith is a one-way trip. This faith is a journey that does not look back to see if there is something better. The manifestation of biblical true faith is one who has a destination in mind that they're not going to turn back and go the other way. And that's what we see in verses 14 and 15. Faith does not turn back. This verse reminds us of what the Spirit has been doing in the whole book of Hebrews. Teaching the Hebrews. Persuading them with example after example. Persuading them with the person of Jesus Christ. do not turn back. The faith in Christ does not turn back, but it perseveres. And this is what the Spirit of God wants to encourage us with as well. The Hebrew Christians were in danger, and some of them were. Some of them who once professed faith in Christ were turning back to Judaism. Now, it's not likely that we are going to turn to Judaism. Some people do. But most of those who have once professed faith in Christ turn back to their own selves, turn back to their sin and their desire for what they can have right now. So we are still to be warned here to not turn back. We are to be encouraged here to look at our faith and say, am I looking forward to God's promises being fulfilled in the future? Or am I being discouraged because I don't see it right now and I'm ready to turn back the other way? The saints being spoken of here who died by faith, all of these did, but the of course, except for Enoch who was taken away. But really, the particular application here about those who die by faith is talking about Sarah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and their immediate descendants. They were the ones who are here in verse 15 are spoken about. They left their country. Truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they are the ones who left their country. And so that's who is being talked about most closely here. But you know what? They could have at any time went back to the land of the Ur of Chaldees. And you may recall a few weeks ago we read about Abraham sending his servant to go find his son a wife. And what did he tell that servant? If you don't find a wife, don't you dare go back to our homeland. They could have went back. They weren't so far away that they could not have returned. And that's why Abraham warned his servant, don't you take Isaac back there. But they could have looked at their situation. They could have looked all around them and saw the profiting of the wicked. They could have looked at all around them and saw the wealth and the ease and the comfort of all those who were living around them and said, you know what? We had it pretty good back there in Haran. And the Lord has not yet delivered what He said He would promise. They could have said, you know, we'll believe the promise, but let's go back there and wait for it. But no, they stayed where the Lord told them to stay. And they journeyed and they sojourned and they lived as pilgrims and strangers in this land. We could even say that they may have had every reason to turn back that they could see, but they didn't. Abraham's only land possession during this time was a burial cave that he bought from one of those pagan landowners for his wife Sarah. But Abram wasn't looking just for land in God's promise. The scripture tells us they were looking for a country that is not on earth. And so if he'd have wanted a better piece of land, he could have went back to his father's land. But he wasn't looking for land. He was looking for God's presence. He was looking for a better country. Abram knew that the land that he was in, the land he would be given, was all temporary. He was looking for something better. Verse 16 tells us that now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. That's what they were looking for. So as we look at this that's being put before us here, what we have to ask ourselves is, what are we looking for? Because as they looked around, they were not only looking where they were physically. They were looking for something greater spiritually as well. And not just a land they wanted. They could have turned back. But now they knew the one who had promised these things. And now they knew that what he had promised was even greater than what they were seeing in front of their eyes. And so we too must beware of turning back to anything but Christ. We must beware of trusting in anything but the one true living God and his promises for our salvation and for all of life. Turning back to self-reliance, turning back to anything apart from God's word, which is the substance for fueling and strengthening our faith, is not faith. They didn't turn back when they had the opportunity to do so. They didn't turn back when they easily could have, because faith does not turn back. You need to see here that this is a description of faith. Faith does not turn away from God, because faith is not something that wells up in you that you created. Faith is a gift that God has given to you, and that kind of faith does not turn back. It does not turn away from God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 39 reminds us of this. If you're there, you can look at it as I read it. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we who have faith are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We who possess true faith will not turn back, ultimately and finally, as our confession summarized, because the object of our faith is also the giver of that faith. And the faith he gives is not a wishy-washy, wavering, turning back kind of faith. That kind of faith that God gives sees the promises afar off, even though we don't have them right in front of us, even though we're not experiencing them all, and desires those promises. And that's what we see in verse 16. Faith desires the promises of God. It never turns back. It endures to the end and desires God's promises. And I think that's where we as Christians really need to be challenged about our desires. The Lord has made many promises that many people, and even some Christians, actually don't desire. God promises that all those who reject Him shall suffer eternal punishment. God promises that His glory one day shall fill the whole earth. God has promised and has delivered on it that Christ would die and be raised again and is now sitting at His right hand as King over all the earth, even now. And there are some people who do not like it that Jesus is ruling over the earth. And even some Christians will not accept that truth. But here we have manifested before us that these who died in faith died desiring a better country, that is, a heavenly country. And so the rest of verse 16 puts this desire in a greater light. Their desire was to be where God was for eternity. And we have to ask ourselves, is that our desire? That there is nothing in this life greater than that promise. Is that our desire, or are there things here that we would rather stay here for? Well, the people that are put here before us, they were sinners. No doubt there were times when they were weak in their faith. But ultimately, they live to the end believing and desiring these promises. For when we see words like, He has prepared a city for them, it is a city where God dwells. It is a city where God will bring you to Himself, to be in His presence forever. This is what God promises, and this is what they were desiring. And because they desired this by faith, God was not ashamed to be their God. All those who look afar like Abraham did, trusting in God's promises to bless the world through his seed, Jesus Christ, all of those who are believing that can have assurance that God is preparing a city for you. And oh, what a city. Oh, what a city. If you want a little taste, and I mean a little taste, I want you to imagine this city without sin. It's hard to do. But imagine this fellowship without sin. Imagine your life without sin. That's just a taste, because we can't get there right now, of what that city is going to be like that God is preparing for his people. Jesus said in John 14, verses 1 to 4, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." That's a promise Jesus made to us, his people. It's a promise we should be desiring. In Matthew 25, 34, he also said, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" There is a place, there is a city of God that he has prepared for his people. It is a city that we are to be desiring. And the question is, do you desire such a city? Because that's what faith from God given to you creates. It creates a desire to be out of this world where we are strangers and temporary pilgrims, to be in the city with God where he is. And that word desire here means something. It's not just, I want that. It actually means to stretch out and grab hold of something. Not just, oh, that'd be nice, but to stretch out, to reach, because you believe it is there, and you believe it is yours, and you embrace it, and confess it, that he who has promised these things is faithful to deliver them. And that's how biblical faith is manifested. Biblical faith does not turn back. It endures to the end of this life with a desire to latch on to the promises of God. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, let me just remind you, it says, "Jesus, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." These all died in faith, looking afar off at promises God had made, and embracing them and confessing them to be true. And so they give us, as the Spirit gives us here, a picture of faith and calls us to ask, does my faith look like that? Because that is biblical faith. Not here today and gone tomorrow, but all the way to the end of life, persevering unto the end, believing the promises of God. May God give us that kind of faith to live and die. To live and die in faith, desiring the fulfillment of his promises in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you for your word, for its encouragement and its challenges to us to examine ourselves and to see if our faith looks anything like this definition and example of faith that you have given to us. It also teaches us, Lord, we are not to be latching on to this world, but to be stretching out and latching on to you and the promises that you hold out for us. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our faith, that we would be like that, that we'd be believing that in Jesus Christ, you have made us holy and righteous, and one day we'll be without sin forever in the city of God. We ask